Sit back and relax as today's program guides you through all things pop culture and the deepest corners of the internet. Warning, may cause brain rot.
Oh my God, welcome to Brain Rot, everyone. I'm so excited. I can't believe it's finally here. I can't believe my podcast is finally launching. But welcome, welcome. I hope you guys are all doing fabulously. So this podcast is definitely a work in progress. We are going to be going through so many different topics. We have different little segments that I want, little moments throughout this podcast that are going to make it unique. And you guys are going to see those as we go on. I'm going to test some things out. We'll see what we like. I'm so appreciative of any feedback that you guys have. But I wanted to kick off today's podcast by commemorating the fact that it has been 10 years on YouTube. So as of this July 2024, it marks 10 years of me posting on YouTube, sharing my transition, sharing my story, and being a content creator. It's been such a wild journey, and I feel like this is such a good opportunity for us to look back and for me to show my appreciation for you guys for supporting me all throughout the way, and also to just reflect on my journey and what it's been like being a content creator and kind of one of the trans pioneers on the internet, just sharing my story. So throwing it all the way back to 2014, it seems like a bygone era to me. I started this channel before I even started my transition, really. And I was just this like scared little shell of a person. I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know what to expect. And I kind of just wanted to reach out and make a community for myself and find people that were maybe going through the same things as me or people that were maybe wanting resources to figure out how to start from the very beginning of the transition process. At the time, I would say there was like maybe just a handful of other trans content creators on YouTube. There was definitely Gigi Gorgeous. There was Princess Jules, and there was also Steph Saniati, who was coming up around the same time as me as well. So I always think of her as like a contemporary or like a parallel. I feel like her and I had like the same timeline pretty much, and we're also the same age. So I always feel like we had this little camaraderie going, also being from Toronto as well. Now, it wasn't until August of 2015 when I first had my viral video, my viral moment. I feel like I was one of the like front runners of trans content creators that were also doing like story times and stuff. So I created this one video, which you might recognize even if you haven't followed me for a long time. It's called Embarrassing Transgender Stories. That was what really kicked things off for me. I had no idea it would go viral. I had these like horrible long bleach blonde hair extensions that I went to the salon and demanded that they dye my hair to match so that I could have long hair. They were like yellow blonde, like one tone, no dimension, pretty crazy. But I went off. I told you guys about all my embarrassing stories. I gave you all my personal details and it blew up. I even had people that I used to go to high school with messaging me about it, which I thought was so cool, but also like so vulnerable because for the first year, my YouTube channel was definitely a little secret for me. I didn't tell anyone that I was doing it. And only when it started blowing up and going viral, did I really have to acknowledge the fact that I was a, you know, content creator, I guess. But back then it was so, so different from what it is today. Now it's a whole industry. It's a whole movement. There was no like Instagram influencer back then. There was no TikTok. I don't even think the platform existed really. There was none of that stuff. And being a YouTuber and whatever, there was no like brand deal situation really that was happening. I think around that time, I would just work with some random companies here and there. Like I think there was Zaful, Shein, those kind of ones from Asia. They would reach out. Maybe they had more of a social media platform over in Asia than they did here in Canada or North America at that time. But basically it was a very, very different world. Navigating it was so bizarre. I think I was like 18 when I started this YouTube channel. So I was just like a little baby. I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know how to handle all of that attention because especially as a trans content creator, you get so much negativity. You get so much hatred thrown your way. People just don't even think that you should exist or have a platform, period. And so that was like really difficult to deal with. And I oftentimes would step back and just like reflect and be like, is this really what I want? Can I handle this amount of, you know, attention all the time? Which honestly, a lot of the time was negative attention. It was to the point sometimes where during my undergrad, I would go to bars with friends and people would come up to me while I'm dancing drunkenly with my friends and be like, oh my God, I watch your YouTube. And like, I loved it, but it kind of made me paranoid. I don't know if you guys would have the same reaction, but essentially like you never know if someone is watching you. You never know if someone recognizes you. You never know if someone could record you at any moment. So I feel like I kind of got in my head about that. I feel like I don't know. I was on like the precipice several moments of being, you know, a little bit more YouTube viral or YouTube famous throughout the early days. I was definitely, I would say, in like the story time type of genre of YouTuber. I remember when, say, for instance, Tana Mongeau was coming up and she was, you know, just killing it with her story time game. And just, you know, all of those YouTube individuals from that era, I remember being kind of a little bit a part of that in some way. Just part of the sensation of, you know, just being a public figure, sharing your stories, being a storyteller, and having, you know, drama happening in your life. And so for that, I'll always look back on that chapter of my social media era and think, you know, what could have been if I would have pursued it a little bit harder, but also acknowledging, you know, that maybe that wasn't the right path for me in the moment. Maybe I would have got mixed up in things that would have been maybe not so positive for me. I know that I was very vulnerable at that point in my life as well. When you're freshly transitioning, you guys probably saw this. You, like, you know, you're learning everything about yourself for the first time. You are learning how to not only, you know, navigate your new world as a woman, but you're also learning how to navigate relationships, friendships. I was doing this all during my undergrad as well. So I had to juggle school full time and, you know, dealing with all those hate comments. I feel like it was such like a tumultuous period, but also such a rewarding period as well. And I thank you guys so much for following with me on this journey. I also subsequently made my timeline, my transition timeline, and that's what I think to this day has the most views on my YouTube channel and probably will always have the most views. And it was really only like 6 to 7 months into my transition, which is insane, right? Like, I was hardly even into my transition when I made that video. So I feel like I've grown so much as a person, so much as a content creator, and also as an actress and stuff like that. So I feel like we're always evolving. And I always try to have like an introspective look on the things that I'm doing and where I'm headed, because I feel like maybe in the past 4 years or so, I've been a little bit stagnant, just unsure of what I want to do with this next chapter of my life. So doing this podcast is like such a fun way for us to kind of pivot in a new direction. I know podcasts are just killing it on the internet now, and I like nothing more than to spend, you know, an hour or so with some of my favorite people on the internet and just vibe while I'm having my coffee or, you know, having lunch or something. So I wanted to create that kind of environment for you guys as well. For me, brain rot is something that's like so rooted in like the sarcastic nature of who I am, and also just the deep internet lore and deep internet culture that we are experiencing in this age, this world of technology. We have access to so many different things at once. Is it really great for our brain, or are we rotting our brains, you know? And this phrase of brain rot is so pervasive now. I see it everywhere. And it just, you know, stood out to me. And I was like, you know what, let's make a sarcastic, kind of like Y2K grunge MTV themed podcast called Brain Rot, you know? Because we're all just sitting here rotting our brains in so many different ways, but we're also trying to grasp at those last brain cells and nurture them. And that's kind of the vibe here. Now let's cut over to our first segment called Brain Booze. I'm calling this cocktail Mind Over Matter. So you have to fill a shaker with ice, then add in 1.5 ounces of St. Remy Martin, 0.5 ounces of green chartreuse, 0.5 ounces of honey, 0.75 ounces of lime juice, liquid egg whites from one egg, and then you want to shake that with the ice and then single strain it back into the shaker and then shake it again without ice just to get that extra foamy texture. Super creamy, super tasty, and super refreshing. And I like to garnish it off with a sage leaf and a little clap to express the aroma. And now drinking the cocktail, let's have our first little sip. So refreshing, so light. This is like a honey Remy green chartreuse drink. I wanted it to kind of mirror, you know, that like slimy green vibe, but also be classy. We've got a sage leaf on top, and it's just really refreshing and nice for the summer. It's not too sweet. It's like a nice little, I don't even know what it's a take on. Maybe a little bit light take on like a whiskey sour, but just like a bit more classy, I guess. I'm really excited because you guys know that I was really into mixology for a while. I used to work in a business class lounge in the airport, and I was serving pretty much everyone that would come through. And we had a few celebrities come through as well. To name a few, from what I remember, this was before lockdowns, by the way. We had Cate Blanchett, we had Shawn Mendes, we had like so many Canadian icons. I know Shania Twain came through. Paris Hilton even came through my lounge, which was crazy. I didn't make her a drink though. But yeah, so I just had so much fun being a bartender and doing that stuff. And I felt so fortunate to be in such like a fun environment. So I just wanted to include that part of myself in my podcast and do a little feature. We might even have some mocktails coming through as well, because not all my guests are going to be drinking alcohol. That's the other thing too, is I'm going to have a lot of guests on here as well. I want like a nice, fun way to bridge the gap between, you know, the people in my life and the people I'm curious about, and bring them into my world and into my content. Cause I know I've mostly just done myself on my channel over the years. You get glimpses of people, and I recently had my mom in the Vegas vlog and stuff, but I really want to just like branch out and do something a little more interactive and a little more inclusive of the people in my life and share them with you guys. Now, I have a few hot topics that I want to talk about in this program today. They're pretty Canadian oriented, which is funny. First off, just announced recently, Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber are having a baby. They announced it via Instagram with a gorgeous photo shoot. I'm not really sure where it's taking place. It kind of looks like it could be Canada because the weather looks kind of gray and gloomy. But the backdrop looks a little bit more like California to me, because I see like lots of mountains and things. Could also be the West Coast in Canada. I'm not too sure, but really stunning photos. I think it's such a cute announcement. And I feel like if anyone's a fan of either of them, we've kind of been waiting for this announcement. They've been married for a while. And I know Justin Bieber's been going through some health problems. So it's nice to see that they're finally able to grow their family and that they're taking this next step. I think it's so cute. And yeah, I don't know. I always find baby announcements so cute. I remember when Kylie Jenner was doing her videos and stuff, and her video to Stormy, and it was just kind of like a break the internet moment. I think they're cute. I think of all like, you know, the celebrity things that we obsess over, I think that, you know, baby videos are always a welcome addition. What do you guys think? Another trending topic lately is the Kendrick and Drake beef. So I'm going to go through a really quick abridged timeline of Drake and Kendrick, and it's from this Time magazine article, and it basically kind of explains like where the beef is coming from. And I'm not really too into the rap beef world. I'm not sure if you guys are either, but this has just been making the headlines over and over, so I feel like it's worth discussing. So the feud in which each rapper has made numerous unverified allegations prompted Drake to respond in a song on Sunday that he's disgusted by Lamar's claims about him, including that he has a secret child and engages in with underage girls, which he denies. So it's kind of this like big thing. I'm gonna just get the backstory going for you guys, just like the quick little abridged backstory. Both rappers achieved mainstream fame around the same time. Drake's album Take Care in 2011, and Lamar was also featured on it, and he also had Drake on his album in 2012, Good Kid, Mad City, on the song Poetic Justice. But the trouble apparently started around 2013 when Lamar appeared on Big Sean's Control, and he called out Drake and several other rappers on the song, but Drake didn't engage at first, suggesting in interviews at the time that he was not going to take the clickbait. So Drake's beef with Meek Mill in 2015 consumed much of his time, and later in 2018 he got into it with Pusha T, who revealed that Drake was hiding a baby in the song The Story of Adidon, which Drake later admitted was true. So this comes back into reference later, but it wasn't until First Person Shooter came out last year that Drake reopened the conflict with Lamar, intentionally or not, after Cole referred to himself, Drake, and Lamar as the big three. So Lamar, who has won a Pulitzer Prize in 2018 for his album Damn, took offense to the idea that he and Drake are on the same skill level. The standout line in Future's song Like That, which is produced by Metro Boomin, is "Mother the big three. It's just big me." So basically you can kind of see it's these like egos warring with each other. He also refers to Drake's most recent album, For All the Dogs, rapping, "For all your dogs getting buried, that's a K with all these nines, you gonna see Pet Cemetery." And then J. Cole briefly entered the beef as well, but ended up backing out because he didn't want to be involved as things got more heated. People are like now saying that J. Cole like made the right choice because they think that Kendrick has bodied Drake with his diss tracks that have followed up. Rap fans wait for bated breath for Drake's response, and he returns to the beef with not one but two songs, Push Ups and Taylor Made Freestyle. The Toronto rapper attempts to put Lamar in his place, calling him a pipsqueak and saying how the f*** you big stepping with size 7 men's on. And Drake also attempts to make fun of Lamar for doing very mainstream pop songs like Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift. He was featured on both of those tracks, Bad Blood and Don't Wanna Know, which is kind of funny because Drake is a pretty mainstream rapper, I would say. So I don't really know like why that's such a big deal, but I guess maybe he's trying to say that like Kendrick is claiming to be this like, you know, deep poet, Pulitzer Prize winner, and just so much deeper on another level, but he's also doing the same shit that Drake is doing. But I don't know, both could be true at the same time, maybe. Taylor Made Freestyle ended up getting completely taken down because of Tupac Shakur's estate, because Drake was using Tupac's voice AI style in order to deliver. And, you know, that just wasn't cool with the estate of Tupac Shakur. And then Lamar had a scathing response called Euphoria. And that is also the name of the HBO show that Drake was producing. If you guys don't know, we've talked about Euphoria a little bit on here, specifically because of the trans representation with Jules, Hunter Schafer. Which I think, honestly, Euphoria is a great show for many different reasons. But Lamar says, fabricating stories on the family front because you heard Mr. Morale, a pathetic master manipulator. I can smell the tales on you now. You're not a rap artist. You a scam artist with the hopes of being accepted. Tommy Hilfiger stood out, but FUBU never had been your collection. Taking aim at Drake's biracial identity. And then he goes on to call himself the biggest hater and says, I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you talk. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak dissing. If I flight, it's going to be direct. We hate the bitches you F because they confuse themselves with real women. It's funny. Like, I don't know if like other dolls out there feel the same way, but when I heard the we hate the bitches you F because they confuse themselves with real women, I think just like my own representation comes to mind, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, is he calling Drake out for like being a trans woman? Like, is he being transphobic? You know what I mean? That's like my go-to. But most people have been deconstructing it and saying that it's mostly about women who've had surgery and stuff, and Drake like going after like fake women in that sense, which honestly, come on, it's just like at this point misogyny all around, regardless of what it is. Lamar dropped a second song in the same week. He released Euphoria with a cryptic title, 616 in LA, as an Instagram reel on Friday, with the cover art for the song as a single black glove, seemingly a nod to OJ Simpson's trial, which began in June 16, 1985, which is also Tupac's birthday and Father's Day as well. And he makes a dig at Drake's alleged taste in women. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. So basically, like, make fun of him for being with prostitutes, I guess. Just all this stuff. And then Drake responded with Family Matters, which was a dig at Lamar's family. Basically, he has a fiance named Whitney Alford, and Drake was questioning the legitimacy of Lamar's child with Whitney, possibly alleging that Lamar is unfaithful and physically abusive in his current relationship and Family Matters. And yeah, so basically coming for his family, which further fuels Kendrick Lamar. And then he goes in with Meet the Grams, another diss track, where he claims that Drake's taking Ozempic and that, you know, he has a BBL and all this stuff. So he basically goes in on that level. And it just goes back and back and forth, like over and over and over. And then there's a bunch of other people that pile on against Drake as well. And Drake releases more beef. You guys get the idea. It's just like a constant back and forth. But not to go into too much detail, I don't know what I think. I think the whole thing's kind of silly. I think it's really funny that like rappers have these ego trips, and like it's all about this machismo, this masculinity. And the reality is that you have two fully grown men fighting over like, you know, very girlish gossip. Like, one is accusing the other of taking Ozempic and having a BBL, and the other is accusing the other of being a cheater and saying that their baby mama is, you know, sleeping around and the legitimacy of their child is at question, you know. It sounds like an episode of Real Housewives. Like, it's actually quite crazy. And yes, they're like fronting it through like, you know, rap music or whatever, but it's like, it's just like, you know, gossipy poetry about each other. Like, have you heard of anything more like feminine in a sense? I find it so funny. Like, these are like the masculine figures of, you know, the rap community, and they're fighting over Ozempic, BBLs, baby mamas, and cheating and stuff like that. And it's like, those things just seem so... I have no words. What do you guys think about the situation? Are you team Drake? Are you team Kendrick? What do you think? Recently as well, they have tagged Drake's house with all of these like pins, because Kendrick has also accused Drake of being a predator as well and being with underage girls. And Drake specifically names out Millie Bobby Brown and says that nothing happened and like, you'd be a good competitor if I was really a predator, that kind of vibe. People are saying that he's like now calling attention to something like too specific, which means he's probably guilty, and just like making all these like assumptions about things. I don't know. I think, you know, we can't really make assumptions at this point. And also it's just like, it's just silly, silly, silly. Something that's not silly though is that Drake's bodyguard was recently shot outside of his house. So that's kind of a little freaky. I think maybe it could be like by a Kendrick superfan or just unrelated stuff. I don't think Kendrick himself would take a hit out on Drake and, you know, just shoot the bodyguard. I just feel like that's a little bit much. Hopefully things don't get taken to that degree. But that's the beef there that I'm understanding from, you know, this article. It seems like a lot of he said, she said, and a lot of, you know, generation of, I would honestly say, album sales and getting good press and publicity, maybe not good press and publicity for all, but definitely getting their names in the headlines. And the last pop culture thing I wanted to talk about for today is that Taylor Swift has recently launched her Paris leg of her Eras tour, and she's including new songs in the Eras tour from her Tortured Poets Department album, which I actually kind of like. It's growing on me. My favorite song is Guilty as Sin. Do you guys have a favorite from Taylor's recent album? I really liked some of the clips I've seen from her tour. There's a specific moment where she's going around on a bed and there's almost like this like UFO satellite just shining down on her. And I think it's so pretty. I think she's so talented and she has such a, you know, monolithic fan base that's just like really rooting for her. And I do like the music. I like the direction that she's heading in. So kudos to her. And I hope everything goes well with her European leg of the tour. Now, a quick pivot from the content that you guys are used to from me and the kind of theme of brain rot on this pod. But I want to do a little book club moment. Once a month, we are going to read a book together if you can get your hands on it, or, you know, download it from an ebook source. And we're going to just talk about it. So this month's book is going to be From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. I've been meaning to read this book for a while, and I know that doing this little dissection book club on the pod is going to help me get into reading more. We're going to have like a very diverse amount of books. This is a little more of a, I guess, maybe smutty novel that's like more like fan fiction-y, like fantasy vibes. So if you're interested, pick up this book, read it, and we'll talk about it in a future podcast. I'm going to try to do it once a month. So by the end of May, I'm hoping that we can finish this together and have a little talk at the beginning of June and start a next book after that. So I'll give you guys the little backstory of it so that you can decide whether or not you want to read it. Chosen from birth to usher in a new era, Poppy's life has never been her own. The life of the maiden is solitary, never to be touched, never to be looked upon, never to be spoken to, never to experience pleasure. Waiting for the day of her ascension, she would rather be with the guards, fighting back the evil that took her family, than preparing to be found worthy by the gods. But the choice has never been hers. There's a bit more, but you guys get the idea. Go pick up this book or rent it from your library or whatever you can do to get your hands on this story. And we are going to do it together. I also want to have a once a month music recommendations segment where we kind of just talk about some of our favorite artists or new releases. Just to throw it back to Taylor Swift, I really do enjoy her new album. I like Alchemy. I like Guilty as Sin? I like Love of My Life. Those are the tracks I would recommend from her album so far. There's a few others that I like too, but you can comment your favorite tracks from her new album. As well, I am always, always listening to Sade. She is fabulous. You guys have to check out her music if you don't know it. She's been around since the 80s. Just smooth, soft jazz, gorgeous voice, so smooth. I like to just put in my AirPods, go for a stroll with Elio, and the rest is history. I feel like I'm in this, like, you know, 80s noir, gorgeous moment, living my fantasy. And I just love the vibes, you know? So, so good. I love Sade. And I would love to see her live one day. That's like one of my dreams. That's all for music for this segment. I'll definitely have more recommendations in the future. But I just wanted to give you little sprinklings and pepperings of some of the things that I really like. If you're going to listen to Sade, I would recommend Couldn't Love You More. I'd recommend Your Love Is King. What else? Honestly, all of them. Like a Tattoo. Is that what it's called? Tattoo? Something like that. I'll link everything. This episode is a little bit short and sweet, but it is our first pilot episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I hope you stay fresh and funky. Look forward to future podcasts. I'm going to be having Lauren on for the next podcast. Lauren has been with me on Twitch, so some of you guys know who she is, but she's never really revealed her face before. And so we have this amazing friendship, this amazing discussion, and we recently ran a half marathon together. So I'm excited to share my friendship with her, with you guys, and talk about some really engaging topics. And I'll see you guys for the next Brain Rot special. Maya Henry signing out.